The last demo I saw, my jaw dropped. They were tracking boxes moving off a ship and into the stacks and out of the stacks and onto the road. You know, like we said before, you can plan the capacity of your warehouse when you see these things coming.
And it's amazing when you give that illustration of, you know, the traffic in LA, for example, mm-hmm. what one piece of information can do mm-hmm. when applied correctly, leveraged into efficiency, makes a huge difference. Welcome to North Point of View. I'm here with Dr. Walter Kimsies. Walter, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Doing great. During the break, you mentioned some of the ways that technology is changing, you know, supply chain, logistics. Mm-hmm. Let's dig into that a little bit.
You know, that's really an important thing to think about, because all you hear is, you know, AI this right. and AI that, yeah. AI agentic. Put that aside for a minute. All of that stuff couldn't work if we didn't have technology really changing supply chains, right? So after years of trying to automate stuff and it not working, just like in the electric vehicle world, the EVs, you know, they're not ready for prime time, but the hybrid electric vehicle is. Yeah. So, you know, the old gasoline helps the new electricity. And with the automation, fastest growing area that I know of are cobots. And that's when, you know, I have a robot who's my companion, and the two of us together can do a lot more than I could by myself or the robot could. You know, one of the problems with the robots is they really can't see. And so I don't know if you have a Roomba.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, our Roomba is a nice little Roomba, but every so often the Roomba gets lost. It don't know where it is.
You get stuck under our bar chairs.
Oh. Well, you see, I pick up some of the furniture, and it still finds a way to get, you know. So you have to go pick it up and put it back in the station.
Yeah.
And so with these robots, sometimes you have to send somebody out there to the end of the warehouse. And when it's a million square foot warehouse, that's quite a hike. You pick up the robot, put them on a forklift or something, and haul them all the way back to the station, plug them in, and, you know, reorient it. So, you know, we are in that this is a nice early phase of things. We are, you know, of really going into automation. But that already is generating more information. We have more transponders in warehouses, and that tells us where things are and, you know, where the robots went. You know, so every time things move, we're getting information. And we've learned how to track the movement of containers.
Yeah.
So when you take a container off a ship, you have on your computer a digital representation of the path for the container, and it shows that the container took a step. And then as you go and put it in a stack, the supply chain visibility software shows you that it went into the stack. And what the electronic version of what's happening in real time is called the digital twin. It's great information. You
sure.
know where your I know where my stuff
Where's
is.
Where's my inventory?
Exactly. And if I've got too much stuff sitting someplace, and I know that within a day or two, my container is going to come out of the port and go to my warehouse, I better make some room for it if I haven't already.
Can't imagine operating without that.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So you're flying blind.
Yeah, what you had to have instead was a lot of truck parking places. So you put the container on a chassis, you drive it to the warehouse. Warehouse says, we're full. So you back into a parking spot, you disconnect the chassis with the container on it from the truck, and it leaves a bobtail. And you need a lot more chassis because of that lack of information in the system.
Right.
And so this is how information can substitute for equipment,
for
capital expenditures.
Yeah.
What they do in California, and this works as long as everybody follows the law, is if, you know, you get on, you know, I-5 in LA, good heavens, I mean, we've both driven that, right? I mean, five lanes of traffic that snarls, you know, huge tailbacks. And then you finally get through it, and when you go through it, you go, why was there a traffic jam? there wasn't an accident, nobody was pulled over, there was nothing interesting to see. The problem is there are too many interchanges too close together. So, you know, here I am, a guy from Savannah in LA, I'm on the fifth lane on the outside because I like to drive fast, you know, not slow like the Los Angeles guys, because here in Savannah, we don't have that congestion. So I'm flying down the lane and all of a sudden, my little GPS thing says, in a half a mile, take the ramp. Half a mile? I'm doing 75 miles an hour. I'm five lanes away from this and I've got a half a mile. So fortunately, I grew up in Brazil. That's where I learned how to drive. And if a few car honks, you know, I cut through, I get off. But what happens? And there's a great Wall Street Journal article I've sent you once, but what happens is the people behind them, a lot of folks behind me or who I kind of, you know, get in front of, there's always a couple of, you know, brakey babies. They any little thing and they slam on the brakes and the cars behind them see the car in front stepping on the brakes, so they start stepping on the brakes and next thing you know, whoosh, a wave of stepping on the brake. And then everybody slows down because, well, if you step on the brake, you go slower and you want to go slower because people are stepping on the brakes. Maybe something happened. And that's when you get the tailback. So what they do now is they've replaced the speed limit signs with digital speed limit signs. And when the traffic approaching a ramp is slowing down, the transponders in a highway notify the traffic management system and it starts to adjust the speeds. You can leave it high in the fifth lane, but as you go towards the right, the lane on the right might be as low as 40, 45, because it's a lot easier to get into that lane if the traffic is slower, and then from there to get off. And it's easier for the oncoming traffic on the on-ramp to get into the lanes as well.
You're building efficiency through the system.
My understanding is, and don't quote me on it, because I you know, it's a trivial statistic, but they're doing something like 25% or more car trips a day with less congestion, which is great for the environment, and they haven't had to build additional highway lanes because they're able to do that.
Yeah.
And you're substituting information for physical infrastructure. And you see, this isn't AI or some exotic automation. It's very basic
stuff. Basic efficiency.
Yeah. So there's a lot more. What's happened is the big change in logistics really isn't AI. You know, it's very exciting to talk about HAL, you know, taking over our businesses, you know. That's a reference to Space Odyssey 2000, right? Anyways, you don't know how young the people are, if they've seen the movie or not. What's really changing for the supply chain is the amount of information that we're able to capture. And that will allow AI to get good. But right now, AI makes a lot of mistakes because a lot of the information it has is incomplete, incorrect. Right. There's a lot of manual input of information. Oh, I mean, it's my nightmare. But the more we're automating collection of information and collecting more of it, like before, you could never know that when the container had gotten off the ship. And with supply chain visibility, there's a company that I advise, ESP, Esri Saybrook Partners, and you know, when the last demo I saw, my jaw dropped. I could, you know, they were tracking boxes moving off a ship and into the stacks and out of the stacks and onto the road. You know, like we said before, you can plan the capacity of your warehouse when you see these things coming.
And it's amazing when you give that illustration of, you know, the traffic in LA, for example, what one piece of information can do when applied correctly, leveraged into efficiency, makes a huge difference.
Exactly. And that is how technology, so the real technology isn't the AI. The real technology is the capture of more types of information, more accurate capture of information that allows the decision maker at the office to make a call. You know, do I need an AI program to do that right now? I would rather not. Okay, I want to make sure, you know, verification that things are going to be done correctly is more important.
Yeah, that's a great way to sort of look at things. Less is more.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately for a lot of this, for a lot of the AI part that will kick in, you know, to use more of this information, we've got those data centers. And so, you know, where you have huge storage of data so you can manipulate it, run all the algorithms. And so I was always thinking, wow, the technology will improve the environment. We won't need as many highway lanes. We'll have less congestion, yada, yada. We don't need to make as many chassis to have as in the chassis pool at the port.
Except that the beast is...
the beast is sitting there sucking all the electricity out of the system.
And the water. Always great being with you, Walter.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
It is excellent. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.